following is a synopsis of the Dvar Malchus of Parshas Ekev. This is taken from the Rebbe's talk on Shabbos Parshas Ekev, the 23rd day of the month of Menachem Av, Shabbos Mevarchem Elul, of the year Hei Tinase, corresponding with the year of 1991. The Rebbe begins by discussing the significance of the month of Elul. It's well known that Elul is a month that is appropriate for making what is called a Cheshbon HaNefesh, an accounting, an appraisal of one's behavior throughout the past year, and to correct all the mistakes that a person has made in the course of the past year. And that is the best way to prepare for the new year. The question only is, how, in what form, does this Cheshbon HaNefesh, does this self-appraisal and accounting take place? Now, since everything in the world, every little detail, is by divine providence, everything is ordained by Hashem, by God, we have to consider the fact that Rosh Chodesh Elul occurs on 2 days. First day is on Shabbos, and it also continues the next day on Sunday, first day of the week. Now, this Shabbos, which is the Shabbos in which we bless the month, is the Shabbos Parshas Ekev. So these details could also serve and help us in knowing how to approach the Cheshbon HaNefesh, the accounting of the month of Elul. Chodesh Elul, the month of Elul, is essentially a synopsis or a sum total of the entire year. Throughout the year, what is a Jewish person's function? It's a singular function. He has to serve his Creator and fulfill God's will. This function, this mission, manifests itself especially in the month of Elul, and it's expressed through the very word Elul. We're told that the verse in Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs, that says, Ani L'dodi, I am to my beloved. B'dodi li, and my beloved is to me. I am to my beloved, meaning God, and my beloved God reciprocates that love to me. Those four words, Ani L'dodi, B'dodi li, form an acronym, are the acronym of the word Elul. Or Elul is the acronym for those four words, the initials of those four words. This expresses what a Jewish person's service to God is in terms of fulfillment of Torah and mitzvahs. A person has to start off with his effort, Ani L'dodi, and then God gives us assistance, V'dodi li. Now, the month of Elul teaches us that we shouldn't sit with folded arms and wait for gifts that come from God. On the contrary, the essential thing is the first thing we have to do is Ani L'dodi. We have to start the process by getting closer to God, and only afterwards does God give us his assistance. What this means is that although, of course, we always have assistance even before we start working, for example, in the month of Elul, it says that the 13 attributes of mercy radiate in this month and therefore give us a little bit of a push and inspiration to do what we have to do, but that's not the goal. The goal is that we execute our mission, and that enables us to absorb and to internalize the revelations of godliness of the most high and exalted fashion. That's why the word Elul starts with the letter Aleph. It's to teach us, Aleph being the first letter of the alphabet, that we have to start from the bottom and reach our way upwards. From the Aleph, we then continue to the Beis and the Gimel. Now, the second part of the word Elul, V'dei Dili, which is God's reciprocation of his initiative to us, that symbolizes God's assistance. But since that's part of the word of Elul, the month of accounting, the month which expresses what a Jewish person's purpose in this world is, it's self-understood that that adds another dimension to our service, another way of serving God, that in addition to Ani L'dodi, where we start from the bottom up, there is also a Jewish person's need to work from the top down. That's why the Rebbe says there are 2 days of Rosh Chodesh Elul. Not all months have 2 days. Elul has 2 days because it's to teach us that Elul has two dimensions, two ways of serving God. There's one way that begins on Sunday when you start from the bottom and you work your way up. That's Mimata L'mayla, from the bottom up. And there's another approach which begins on Shabbos, which is a day that is, from the very beginning, above and beyond the constraints of this world. We don't reckon the limits of this world, and you do everything in a most perfect manner, milmaila lamata, from above, downward, standing on top, looking down, as it were. Now, these two approaches, which already existed from the beginning of creation, because creation started, of course, on day one, but the Kabbalists tell us that the day before, there was a Shabbos before. So we already had a Shabbos that preceded the Sunday, just like the month of Elul starts on Shabbos, and it continues on Sunday. Now, this teaches us that every Jew has both components here. Our body, which is created from the earth, needs to be refined, has to be sanctified, which requires tremendous amount of effort. And we have to do it incrementally, step by step, and we start at the bottom and we work our way up. That's melamata lemaila. That's the body. But from the vantage point of the neshama, the soul of a Jew, it is entirely above and beyond the constraints of this world, because the neshama is called a cheluk aluka mimal mamish. It's a part of God, and mamish means really, but it means even in the world of our reality, our world of substance, in the physical world, it retains its godly nature. From the vantage point of the neshama, of the soul, we could execute very high and spiritually exalted ways of serving God, reaching very great godly levels of revelation. That's momaylo lamata. So what does this tell us? That a Jew has to serve God in both directions. On one hand, he has to serve God in an organized fashion, incrementally, going step by step, rung by rung. And that is a constant service. Even in Yom Kippur and Simchas Torah, they're also parts of the day, normal week. They occur on the 7 days of the week. So even in those days, those exalted days, we have to do things incrementally from the bottom up. On the other hand, even in the weekdays, a Jew has to serve God from the top down. He has to do his work looking to awaken his neshama's, his soul's approach to serving God, which it is from the top down, his Shabbos. Even in the weekdays, you have to introduce the Shabbos mode of service, just like we find that Shammai, the Talmud tells us, the great sage, would observe Shabbos every day of the week by preparing himself for the Shabbos. In that way, he introduced the dynamic of Shabbos into the weekdays. Now, these two dynamic levels, these two approaches, exist within the entire Jewish people, which can be divided into two categories. There are Jews who primarily serve God by study of Torah, which transcends the world. And there are those who primarily serve God by working within the world, by refining it and dealing with the constraints of the world by doing mitzvahs that involve the physical world. Now, just as we explained that the primary service of a Jew is ani l'dodi, it's the effort that we expend, that we invest, only afterwards comes the secondary part of it, which is God's response and assistance. The same thing is true with the two ways of serving God. The primary way is to serve God with the body in this physical world, elevating it, raising it up from the bottom up. Only afterwards comes the effort that involves the neshama, the soul. So let's go back to the 2 days of Rosh Chodesh Elul. The 2 days of Rosh Chodesh Elul occur, as we said, on a Shabbos. Shabbos represents Momaila Lamata, going from the top down, and it continues on Sunday, which is the Aveda, the service, on the bottom up. Now, which of the 2 days is the primary day of Elul? The answer is the second day, because the first day of Rosh Chodesh, which is Shabbos, is still part of the month of Av. It's the last day of the month of Av. When does Elul really begin in earnest, an integral part of the month of Elul? That's on Sunday, which represents the service milmata lemaila, from the bottom up. Now, the reason for this is as follows, and it's very simple and obvious. Since God is interested that this physical world should be refined, therefore, you have a need to elevate the world according to your capacity. And that takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. So you have to do things in an organized way. You can't just do it in an instant. It has to be done with step after step. You can't jump to higher rungs without going through the lower rungs. Because you'll find out that if you try to jump, the world can't take it. It's not something that the world can tolerate. But a Jew also was given a high soul, an exalted soul, that's capable of doing things mumaila lamata, from above downward. But that can only come as an added bonus, knowing that the primary service is when you do things from below. We shouldn't think that this will prevent us from elevating ourselves, that it's going to be an inferior type of elevation. On the contrary, precisely when we do it in this manner, we're able to reach God's essence, His Atzmus Mahus, His very essence. That's why we count the days of Elul from the first day of creation and not from the creation of man. It's to indicate that the primary purpose of our existence in this world is to refine the physical world. To summarize this, the Rebbe says, we have three different approaches in serving God within the month of Elul. First, we have Anila Dodi. That's where we serve God from the bottom up. A limited service, recognizing the potential, the abilities of a person, but it has an advantage that it permeates. It's something that's part of us. Then we go to step number two, which is Dodi Li. God, my beloved, is to me. That's where we serve God in an unlimited way, but it doesn't penetrate the world that much. But then we have the third approach, which is the word Elul, which combines both, where we combine both approaches together, that even the unlimited way of serving God should permeate and become internalized within us. Now we can understand how we can make the accounting of the month of Elul. The first thing, a person has to think how much he served God from the bottom up. How much effort did he put into this service? How successful was he to refine his body and the world around him? Afterwards, a person has to make a second accounting about the fact that in addition to refining the world, since he has a godly soul, he has to know how much of his godly soul did he invest in his service to God, the service that comes from the top down, fulfilling God's will in ways that he totally disregarded the limits that the world imposes on a person. Now, in addition to the fact that even when a person serves God perfectly, doesn't care about all the distractions and all the limits, this ultimately has to permeate his body and the rest of the world around him, that they should also fulfill God's will in the most perfect way. That is what we need in the month of Elul, to combine and join the Ani with Dodi, the I with my beloved, which is God, and Dodi, my beloved, Li, with me. That you have to unify the highest of levels with the physical world and do it in the most perfect way. Now we can understand the connection of Elul to the Parsha that we read this week when we bless the month of Elul, which is the Parsha of Akev. The word Akev has two meanings. The simple meaning is that because you're going to do the mitzvahs, God will give you a reward. As the Torah describes, the reward that happens Akev Tishmun, because you listen to the laws, to the commandments. Rashi, on the other hand, explains that the word Akev refers to certain category of mitzvahs. The word Akev means a heel, mitzvahs that people trample upon with their heels. In other words, mitzvahs that people take very lightly. They're not serious about these mitzvahs. So the question the Rebbe asks is, it's puzzling, why can't Rashi give the simple explanation that Akev means because? Why does he have to connect it with mitzvahs that people trample upon, and what's the connection between these two translations? And the answer is that when a person fulfills a mitzvah, God, of course, gives you a reward, which is the first explanation of Akev. But the manner, the approach to that is only when you start at the bottom. Mitzvahs that are on the bottom rung, when people step upon that. That's where Rashi says that Akev refers to the mitzvahs that you trample upon, to teach us that that's the foundation of all of our efforts. And only through that, beginning at the bottom, are we able to rise to the higher levels and continue our service. Now this lesson is especially relevant in our generation, the generation of Geula, as the custom is recently, the Rebbe says, to connect everything to Geula, to redemption. This period that we're in is called Ikvus de Mashiach, the heels of Mashiach. And that term, too, has two meanings. One meaning is that this is the lowest generation, and it's lower than all of our predecessors. And that's why the Talmud says we have a lot of chutzpah, a lot of lack of respect for authority, and similar traits that are not complementary. That's Akev, we're the lowest generation. And the second meaning is that this is the end of all of exile, and imminently, Mashiach, a righteous Mashiach, arrives. So that's a positive connotation of the word Akev. And the connection between these two explanations is that only when, because our generation, and precisely because the generation is the lowest and the lowliest, and we elevate it from the bottom up, that's what enables us to enjoy the redemption immediately, the complete redemption, when it will have the ultimate fusion of the upper and the lower levels. The accounting of every Jew, the Rebbe says, has to be that based on all the calculations and based on all the signs that God has written in the Torah concerning the redemption should have come already in the past, especially after the 3 weeks when we study the laws of the Beis HaMikdash, and we are already in the Shabbos when we bless the month of Elul. The month of Elul is the month in which the King, God, is in the field. He's available and accessible to everyone and greets everyone with joy. And we're in 770 together with many, many tens of Jews. So we have the zchus, the merit, and we have the responsibility, the immense merit and responsibility, the Rebbe says, to cry out and to implore God, Ad Masai, how much longer? And the truth is that after we finished this whole service, the question, a really powerful storm of a question, the Rebbe uses that term, how is it possible that Mashiach did not yet arrive? It's possible that the reason for that is connected to the answer that Mashiach gave when the Baal Shem Tov asked him in the time that Baal Shem Tov's soul went on high and went into the Heichal, the palace of Mashiach, and asked him, when are you coming? And his answer was, when your fountains are disseminated outward to the entire world. So the Rebbe says, indeed, throughout all those years since the Baal Shem Tov was given that answer, we could see how the leaders of Chabad were involved with the disseminating of the teachings, the fountains of the Baal Shem Tov throughout the entire world. In addition to the fact that so many new explanations and phenomenal explanations were given in the teachings of Chassidus, the publicity, the publicizing of it, the dissemination of Chassidus was so incredible that it reached every movement and every category of Jews throughout the world. Not only that, teachings of Chassidus were translated into many languages, and as a result, every single Jew in the world, no matter what language he speaks, and whichever group he belongs to, he has the potential, at least, to connect himself to the teachings of Chassidus and the fountains of the Baal Shem Tov, and to study them on his own. But since Mashiach didn't yet arrive, it could be, the Rebbe says, that there's still one category of people from whom the teachings of Chassidus were denied. And that's an entire category that of writing to which Chassidus did not yet influence. There's a certain type of script for blind people called Braille that enables blind people to feel with their fingers and to recognize what they're learning. And this is truly disseminating the fountains chutzah outside, because the fact itself that everything we did until now did not yet allow for Chassidus to be transcribed onto Braille, that tells us that that must be the ultimate chutzah, the ultimate outside to which the teachings of Chassidus have now reached. And the Rebbe says that is the innovation of recent days, that they printed the Tanya in Braille. True, not all blind people in the world got it yet, have access to it, but the mere fact that the Tanya exists in the physical world and gives every Jew who needs this language of Braille the opportunity to study Chassidus, that itself is a milestone. Particularly after the Sefer had reached 770, the house of the Rebbe, which is the source of all the dissemination of Chassidus throughout the world. It should be also noted that the Tanya is called the written Torah of Chassidus, so all of Chassidus is contained within the Tanya, just like all of Torah, the oral Torah, is contained within the written Torah. Now, the ultimate objective is that the Geula Hamitis V'Hashlema, the true and complete redemption, should come, take it from Miyad Mamish, immediately, imminently, truly, literally, and then all the blind people will be healed, and they will be able to see things very well. In addition, they will be healed before everyone, and they will be able to see just like everyone else. Now, incidentally, the Rebbe says, in the time of Geula, we won't have to read, because Mashiach will teach everyone in a manner of Riya, a visual manner, so they will see, we will be able to see all the concepts of Chassidus, and we won't have to read it from a written text. And may it be the will that all the blind should be healed even before the redemption, and the Geula Hashlema should come immediately, mamash, in actuality, in reality, literally. The following is a synopsis of the synopsis. The month of Elul is an acronym. Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. This means the service of a Jew is to connect himself, the Ani, to the Eibishter, to Hashem, Dodi, my beloved. And then the Eibishter reciprocates, and Dodi li, he becomes close to me. More specifically, we're talking about two different approaches that every Jew could combine. There's the approach of refining one's body and the world around you, starting at the bottom and going up. That's Ani l'dodi, I am for my beloved. And then there's another way of serving God, where you reveal your soul, your godly soul, and you execute God's will without any consideration of any of the distractions and any of the limitations that the outside world can pose. That's Dodi li, my beloved is to me. You're incorporating the soul's way of dealing with its relationship with God. And what does every Jew have to do in the month of Elul? He has to actualize both of these approaches, and not only to comprise both of them, but to put them together, to synthesize them, which means that he has to make an effort to do God's will without any consideration of the limits posed by the body or one's environment, and also to have that approach permeate his body and the physical world around him. Now, the month of Elul is called the month of Cheshbon HaNefesh, an accounting, an honest accounting and appraisal of the past year. And that has to manifest itself in three ways. Number one, we have to ask ourselves, what effort did I invest in refining my body and the world? Number two, how much effort did I invest in revealing my neshama, my soul? Number three, how much did I invest in bringing the two together? And that's hinted in the 2 days of Rosh Chodesh Elul. The first day of Rosh Chodesh is Shabbos, that represents the higher level, the level that comes from the top down. And the second day, which is on Sunday, is where you start at the bottom, you work your way up incrementally in refining the body. That is the fundamental approach. Now, these two approaches are also connected to the month of Elul, and to the Parsha of Akev. Akev has two meanings, the heel, and it also means the mitzvahs. Because of the mitzvahs that we do, we will be rewarded. When do we deserve the reward? When is our service complete? When we do it with the Akev, we start at the bottom and work our way up. And the Rebbe says that after all this accounting, we have to come to the conclusion, Mashiach should come, and we have to cry out, Ad Mosai. And the main thing is that after we printed the Tanya, and it reached even those who are incapable of seeing, because it was introduced to Braille, that would be perhaps the thing the Rebbe says that was lacking until now, and now the Geula could come immediately. In terms of the practical application of all the above, the Rebbe says, every day a Jew has to refine his body, working on that from the bottom up, and he also has to reveal his neshama, but the primary thing is the work that we do with our body. Number two, in the month of Elul, you have to make an accounting of how much time and effort did we invest in these two different approaches and in bringing them together, fusing them together. And number three, every Jew has the privilege and the responsibility to ask of God and to cry out to God, Ad Mosai, how much longer?